Hey, this is Craig Ferrantino of Craig James Financial. Get ready for another financial report right here on 103.9 LI News Radio.
Craig Ferrantino is a registered representative offering securities and advisory services through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. Craig James Financial Services and United Planners are not affiliated. Material discussed is not to be construed as specific investment, tax, or legal advice, and is not a recommendation to buy or sell any securities.
All righty, and let's not forget the great website, loads of events, webinars, you name it, information. That's Craig James Financial. .com. The Dow had a very good close on Friday, nearly 300 points. And we'll check out the futures market as well. Last I looked, it was down slightly, still is. And we get ready for a huge week. We got all kinds of infrastructure numbers to talk about as far as the national picture is concerned. Good to have him back in the fold from a well deserved respite. Craig Ferrantino. And we say a very good morning, sir. Welcome back. And let me add, your replacement over the week was just phenomenal, Megamuccio. I do want to point that out to you. Good to have you, though.
Good. Thank you, Jay. Hey, it's great to be back. It's nice to know that I could be replaced, too. Yes, it was a great week. Had a few days vacation in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, which was very restful. So, but I, you know, we did get some calls for, to our office to make sure I was okay. They weren't sure, and some of your listeners very thankful and very, very appreciative of that. A couple sent an email. We're okay. We're live and well. We just took a few days off there, so no big deal. So great to hear you, Jay, and I'm glad that Megan, our CPA, who's been very, very busy, she wouldn't have been able to do that if she was. If the tax deadline was 4/15, thankfully they pushed it off a month. So she said she had a great rapport with you as well. I said everybody gets along with Jay at Parts, right, Jay?
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, we like to roll out the mat, but, you know, everybody needs a break. And a lot of people, you know, it's funny because Craig, you know, is such a workhorse. He hardly takes any time off. So when they don't hear your voice at this particular time, they get a little nervous, you know, a little nervous. So, you know, it's all good, though. All good.
Just like you, Jay, I follow after our great leader, that's all. Anyway, last week, Dow Jones Industrial Average closed at 33,801 for the week that I was gone, up 2%, so I was happy. Year-to-date, 10.4%. The S&P 500 index closed for the week at 41.29. You know, for the week, it almost did 3%, 2.7%. Also, the year-to-date numbers, don't forget this is you know, April 12th, it's up almost 10%, so very good numbers, equal to the Dow. It's usually way past the Dow, but tech has been a little slow to recover here. The NASDAQ, which was a big winner last year, only up 7.3%. for the year and 2.6% for the week. And even the interesting number, though, is the MSCI EAFE, which is your European indexes, and that's up 2% for the week as well. So all indexes were up 2+% for the week. Year to date, the European index up 5.4%. So that's very good coming into ending the first quarter to say you did 5% year to date. In some instances, like on the Dow Jones Industrial Average, some people have some algorithms that say, geez, I'm up 10%. For the rest of the year, I'm just going to be in bonds and just lock up the money, or I'll put it all in a CD. And at the end of the year, they'll show that they did 10%. There you go. So that's a strategy. Not telling you listeners to do it, but it's just a strategy that could be out there. There's a lot of interesting news came out while I was gone, and you see the unemployment rate is falling nearly 9% over the last year. You know, the largest decline in unemployment since World War II was about 6.5% from, and we're looking at the numbers here, and we're seeing how much damage the pandemic really did to the labor market. Unemployment is still at about 6%, which is a level that is historically elevated due to the pandemic. Though weekly initial jobless claims rose last week, possibly due to weather concerns for the month of March. And when you're looking at consumer spending, you'd be thinking unemployment trends will be a powerful, you know, really a tailwind for the economy ahead. I don't know, Jerome Powell, I missed it, but I heard he was on 60 Minutes yesterday, and he was saying some things on how we still may need more stimulus. The economy's at an inflection point. I'm not so sure, you know, what he was saying, but I have to go through the transcript, but I know there's been a lot of buzz in the financial press about it. We see some other interesting information that's out there. I wanted to point out that I wanted to throw a couple of names out here. Have you heard of Mukesh Ambani? Mukesh Ambani. He owns the Mumbai Indians. He's the wealthiest sports team owner in the United States, Jay, worth 84.5 in the world, I should say, worth $84.5 billion, up 130% for the year. He owns a sports team in cricket. Then you look at the number two wealthiest sports owner, wealthiest number the sports team owner is Steve Ballmer. He owns, as you know, the LA Clippers, and he made his money in Microsoft, worth about $69 billion. The one that has improved over 700% since last year, one owner of a sports team that has improved over 700% in the last year, now worth $52 billion, is, drum roll please, Dan Gilbert, who owns the Cleveland Cavaliers. And his source of wealth is really Quicken Loans. He had these low interest rates, the houses selling crazy. Quicken Loans really took off. So very, very interesting number here. And then you start to go through the some of the other numbers. Soccer teams, the New York Red Bulls, Red Bull Racing, the guy who owns Red Bull, Dietrich Mateschitz. And he's worth about $27 billion. And you got a couple of others. Number seven on the list, though, is our own New York Mets owner, Steve Cohen, worth about $16 billion. Guy came out of the gate saying that that cost did not matter to him, that all he cared about was that he was in a great market. He feels that New York is a great market, and he's going to make the New York Mets a great team. So for those of us who are Mets fans, the few of us that are Mets fans, I have a lot of hope and optimism for this year, not just for the economy, but for the New York Mets. What do you think, Jay?
Oh, well, listen, he wasn't shy about handing out the cash to Frankie Lindor, $300 million plus over, 10 years or so? Who, by the way, is hitting about 180. But in essence, listen, there was a lot of pressure on Mr. Cohen to open that wallet, and something we know that prior ownership hardly did. Well, that was because of the Madoff stuff with the Wilpons. But in essence, yeah, he's worth that much. And that's something, you know, listen, when you have an owner of a team that you root for who could spend just endless amounts, that is a good sign, but they still got to play together. That's, you know, I'm just wondering, because when you had said the Cavaliers, that surprised me a little bit. As far as coming in number three, Craig, I thought it'd be something like Manchester United, you know, one of those teams out in Europe. You know, these soccer teams are just loaded cash. And is Manchester on that list or no? You don't know.
Well, this is the sport team owners, not necessarily the teams. You're right. Soccer does have a huge amount of cash. We have one of our employees is a huge soccer fan, actually has a little podcast out. So the Mumbai Indians, $84 billion, Dan Gilbert, Steve Ballmer at Cavaliers. Number four comes in Francois Pinault and family, the Pinaults. They own Stade Rennes FC. There's your, so number four position is a soccer owner. And then number, I'm into the guy who owned the Red Bull, which is a soccer team, 60. But these are the owners, the wealthiest owners that you go through that we have out there. Chelsea FC is also on there as number eight. And worth about $14.5 billion, and he's up 28%. His name is Roman Abramovich, and he owns steel and other investments. He has a steel company, so perfect. And David Tepper, who owns a lot of hedge funds, owns the Carolina Panthers. He comes in at number nine. And then the Brooklyn Nets is Joseph Tsai, TSAI, and he's worth about $11.6 billion. So that's your first 10 right there. As you go down the list, you'll see some other people some names you recognize. Number 11 is the owner of the LA Galaxy, which is what you were talking about, and also the LA Kings, Los Angeles Kings. His name is Philip Anschutz. So he's just an investment guy. So it's interesting. Sadly, you don't see any women on this. Oh yeah, let's play gender politics. So it's all men. I'm going down the list, and I'm up to number 20. Still don't see any. So Arthur Blank owns the Atlanta Falcons as well as Atlanta United Football Club, which is soccer, worth about $6.2 billion. There are some other names here better soccer team.
I want the blank, of course, from Home Depot fame. No question about it. Sir, it is great to have you back in the fold, as always. And we look forward to a Tuesday morning with you. How's that?
Good, thank you, Jay. We'll be in touch. We'll talk to you tomorrow.